This morning, the scripture is one of my favorite parables in the Bible. In fact, it probably says a lot about Christ and what his mission on earth was. But I've got you a word to share with you. I remember I learned it when I was in seminary, and it took me a while scratching my head. Anybody ever heard the word prolegomena? It's not a foreign word. It's a word which means laying down the basics of what you're speaking about, a synopsis of what was going on, and explain the reason for it. Well, in this particular passage, and most of you have been in church long enough, you know the times that our Lord lived in the first century A.D., and we're talking about a widow. And unfortunately, in society at that time, when a woman lost her husband, if she didn't have children, she would plummet down to the bottom ring of the social status ladder. And, of course, they didn't have Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They didn't have any type of benefits. So she was at the mercy of the world she lived in. She either starved to death or took up a new profession, and we know what that would have been. So this is what this woman was facing there. And whatever the situation was, she was determined that she was not going to fall on her face. But you know, the basic prayer is the basic to human need too. Never has anyone, as far as I know, ever turned down a request on my part to pray for them except this one person. I went to visit her in Lakeland Regional Hospital, and it was an atheist who surprisingly resided at the Presbyterian Homes in Lakeland. And when she said, I asked her, I said, will you mind if I pray for her? No, I don't believe in prayer, and I don't believe in the so-called God. Well, you know, I just know right then and there I was going to make a strategic retreat out the door, because you couldn't convince her otherwise. But I remained cordial. And actually, in some ways, she was nicer than some Christians I know. So I just was really taken aback by that. I had never thought I'd ever encounter somebody who didn't want a prayer mentioned. I want prayer. I need prayer. And I'm sure everyone in this sanctuary needs prayer. But that was a surprise to me. But prayer should be our soul's utmost desire. But do we actually and sincerely expect an answer to those prayers? Sometimes we mouth them off so quickly, do we even give God time to even know, process what we're even saying there, and expect an answer? The widow, who is the focus of this parable, was driven fervently. She was driven fervently despite protracted discouragement by her determination. The purpose of Christ's parable, and is obvious, that he encouraged those who were considered outcast by the religious establishment to turn unto a holy and merciful God, whom he depicted as altogether loving. Christ strongly rebuked and solemnly warned those religious leaders about their insolent and contemptuous attitude toward inferiors such as widows, in their opinion, and whatever it was about them, they rejected them. But all this was caused by pride, self-righteousness, and hypocrisy, of which Christ condemned. You know, I think of the three, pride is probably the most difficult to overcome, because most of us are unaware that we have pride. But once you are able to be liberated from that pride, you see, pride also breeds arrogance. And when you have a superior mentality, it's almost as if I am controlling everything. And that is not the way Christ told us to be. In fact, a lot of the rules and regulations the Pharisees had an attitude stemmed from the interpretation of God in the Old Testament as a God with smoke coming out of his nostrils. And that caused a lot of grief and anguish to people. But guess what? Christ is the Son of God. He came to correct all those bad missed calculations and the horrible reputation that God the Father had been given in the Old Testament. And we see here that Christ wanted everyone to know that out of heaven is love and redemption and salvation. But you know, this parable of Christ is one that is addressed probably to the disciples, because he had words of warning to not become and evolve into the religious leaders of Jerusalem, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all those people who set up their own religion. And they ended up killing Christ at the same time. Christ wanted the disciples to believe that everyone should always pray. Was Christ being too optimistic about people and humans? Well, do we truly pray as much as we should? Probably not. I could pray a lot more. We must become prayerful people of faith, and this despite the many discouragements which would not only have tempted the disciples, but could include us in losing heart and to stop praying. The parable teaches persistence in prayer, but not because we seek something, but as a demonstration of our faith in God and God's redemptive purpose. Persistence in praying for something strongly desired is the sign of faith in God, regardless of the bleakest circumstances. For by such faith, we believe and know that God will carry through with his redemptive purpose involving the deliverance of the faithful. This city judge, who had neither a reverent respect for God nor the least regard for his fellow human beings in this parable, was confronted of all people by a widow. A more hopeless situation from the widow's viewpoint could hardly be imagined, for she would assuredly be rudely dismissed. Continue, the judge denied her vindication of seeking justice. It is not told what her grievance was, but it must have been serious. The judge could have been bribed or bullied into rendering a favorable decision, but the widow had no money. She had no power whatsoever, and it was through pestering this judge that was her strategy. She came to him every day the courtroom was open and pleaded her case with him. And daily she did this, and finally the judge had enough of her. She wore him down. In disgust and exasperation, he granted her request to get rid of her. This widow was a victim, I said, of the social and economic system of her times. You remember the widow who had the widow's mites, contributed the two. Christ was mentioning her in the temple. Well, that was all she had. She was giving up her last two pennies in order to support her love for the Lord. Though the widow won out by persistence, however, it does not tell the whole story. Her fortitude had reasoning. It was based in the compelling need for a specific benefit, such as to make wrong into right. Christ gave us the blueprints for successful praying through this example of the widow. Her desperate condition consumed her. If there is anything that's crucial for us to ask, do we have anything to ask out of desperation to God in prayer? You know, the thing about it is, and I used to be the world's worst person for it, is I used to think I could not have a good prayer moment unless I was in a specific place at a specific time. Sometimes I would have my little prayer closet on the end of a couch, or maybe wherever it may be. It might be a carport, might be the front porch, the back porch, whatever. And I used to think, well, I couldn't do it at 2 in the afternoon. It had to be at 8 in the morning. But I realized God does not hold us to a wristwatch, does he? We can pray to God anytime we desire. It doesn't have to be long prayers. You can break them up. Whatever is on your heart at the time, go ahead and pray about it. It may not be a formal, eloquent prayer, but it's from the heart. Remember that. God loves for us to pray to Him. But the trouble about it is, we set up a system of putting God in a box and expect, you know, hey, we're going to do it like that. But I'm going to tell you something. Once I got out of that mindset that I didn't have to pray at 8 in the morning or 11, I can pray at 9:30 if I wanted to, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was almost like I was free of any type of legalism. See, we can make our prayer into legalistic attitudes, and that's not good for us. It's not healthy for our spiritual lives. What it does is it sets up something that can become fossilized. And what happens is our prayers become pretty meaningless if we continue to do it that way. So if you are in that category, what I just described, try doing praying throughout the day or even in the evening. Somebody told me one time in another church, I pray at night before I go to bed, but I fall asleep before I say amen. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It shows that you have developed, God has given you the peace of mind through your praying. And even if you don't finish praying and you fall asleep, don't feel guilty about it. Just smile and wake up and continue the prayer the next day. There's nothing wrong. There's no particular rule book that says thou shalt have to do this and thou shalt not do that as far as in regard to praying. God is open to us 24/7. God does not sleep like we do. God does not go on, and He does not put a do not disturb sign on prayers. We can go to God any moment of the day that we desire. But like the widow, there are some times where we do have urgent matters, and we pray much more, as I say, fervently or more strenuously than we would if things are fairly going along pretty placid in our lives. But this woman really had something going on there. But delay and difficulty were obvious, but the widow endured. The widow is a perfect example of prayer as the soul's sincerest desire and the motive of a hidden fire that is kindled within us. All this was rooted in her faith. She believed that her desire would be satisfied. But do you ever feel like sometime when you pray, your prayers don't go above the ceiling? They bounce off and hit the floor and you have to mop them up? Well, sometimes we all feel that way. But you know what? God is not deaf. God does not wear a hearing aid and turn them off or have select listening or hearing. God will listen to us. It sounds simplistic, but it's very, very true. With, you know, the judge here tried to block the widow's request who sought something better. It may not be a judge in our lives like it was the widow, but problems are people who create roadblocks or obstacles for us. Do you ever feel like sometimes there's a granite wall you run into and you say, how am I going to get by? You know, and that's when we realize that God will be there and help us through that. Human efforts are great, but sometimes our limitations come in. That's when we need God's help to do something. Power greater than the judge and was sought by this woman, and over which this judge had no control, and God was on her side in this. In that faith, she hung on until her plea was answered. You know, one of my favorite Americans of all time, and you've heard me speak about him, was Thomas Edison. I think he, along with Benjamin Franklin, were two of probably the greatest Americans who ever lived in the realm of science. I mean, we wouldn't have our lights, chandeliers burning so brightly if it wasn't for the light bulbs in them. And so Thomas Edison was a remarkable person, but you know, I think you've heard me say this. You know, he was called stupid by his school teacher. Can you imagine telling a child to his or her face, you're stupid. You'll never make anything out of your life. Well, today we'd say, boy, that kicked the slats of his self-esteem. But guess what? His mama told him, I believe you knew Tom, and I'm going to tutor you. You're not going back to that school. Hey, the rest is history. We know what Thomas Edison did with his life. So if sometimes, you know, there's always these naysayers around and somebody tries to put you in your place, you just remember that you've got a higher power to call upon than some human being who thinks they know more than you. And clever people are a dime a dozen. But to call upon God is the ultimate. We can't do it alone. You say, well, preacher, you sound like you're living on a crutch. Well, I am. I will be the first to admit, without prayer, I don't think I could even be standing here. So remember, your life, you are not alone. And if anybody ever calls you stupid, you just remember, Thomas Edison had his mama, but his mama also had God, and she taught him about God while she tutored him. But such encouragement from his mother taught him so much. Psalm 40, verse 4 says something. I wrote it in the King James because I kind of like the wording of it. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You know, I suppose today, in today's society, trying to trust someone is one of the most difficult things to do. But if we only realize one thing, when we trust God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. So remember, to trust in God is believing, too, that 100% of your life is focused upon God. The picture of the widow waiting and pleading indefinitely raises the old question, why does it seem that prayer goes unanswered? Well, the obvious reason for unanswered prayer is possibly due to maybe disobedience or selfishness, lack of sincerity, but most of all, it's distractions. How many times have you prayed and something came up, the phone rang, or somebody turned the television on, or there was a siren outside, something that sort of distracted your attention from what was going on. And that can weigh heavily on your prayer life. So don't forget, you can pick it up where you left off if you get interrupted. But here's something else, a warning. When you say, I'll pray later on when I have more time, guess what? That time will never come. Because you get busy with the rest of the day's events and chores and you forget about praying. Well, when you're doing the laundry or cooking or whatever it is, or even watering the flowers, just lift up a prayer to God. There is, as I said, there is no rule against praying at different times. Even pray in your car, but preferably with your eyes open there. But other than that, you can pray all the time and you will see in your own life your faith will grow. It will grow just in leaps and bounds. And I am not just saying this to be cute. You know, sometimes delays, even in our prayers being answered, often serve to intensify our deepest desires, even as they eliminate the most superficial ones. My sister taught me a thing a while back. She said, you know, there's a reason for everything. And if you're getting a no right now, or you think you are, maybe God is just preparing something better. You know that old adage and illustration about a closed door? Well, maybe God's not finished behind that closed door yet. So don't pry it open. Allow God the time to do what he desires to do behind that closed door. And then God will open the door up for you to walk through. Because, you know, sometimes if you open a door prematurely, it can open up everything. And so it can really breed a lot of trouble. So remember that. Allow God to work in God's own timing. You know, prayer won't change God at all. But guess what? Prayer will change us. You start praying for something, you'll learn, hey, I'm shortchanging and limiting myself. Now, I know to some people that sounds most superstitious or like using a Ouija board or something like that, but it's not. It's not being superstitious when you rely upon God in heaven to call upon him every day. So don't allow anybody to ever tell you that prayer is a waste of time. Prayer is never a waste of time. I'm sure I could ask each of you, have you ever been prayed for and was the prayer answered? And I'm sure the answer is yes. So don't forget it. Prayer, as I said, won't change God, but it'll change us. And why settle for second best when God can deliver the best he has to offer? It originates with a keen sense of need, as testified by this widow. There is always a logical reason if God delays those answers in prayer. As I say, we have not because we ask not, and we ask not so long as we do not feel the deep pangs of needs. Remember that. So when you're seeking God, just share your heart with God. And guess what? God will never abandon you nor forsake you. So start praying more fervently and see what things God can do. You will be amazed. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for being who you are. Thank you, God, that in our prayers we know that you listen to us, you will come through for us, and things that we ask, sometimes you give us a lot better than we deserve. Allow us, O Lord, to develop a strong trust in you. Allow us, O Lord, to let others know the prayers that have been answered by you. Help us, O Lord, when we're facing difficulties, whether it's at the present or the future, whether it's financial, family, health issues, whatever it may be. God, we know that you will never let go of our hands, as the Gospel of John says. You will never release us from your trust and love. We ask this through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.